Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Washington Nationals are World Series champs. Quinn and Chris. Thursday afternoon champs. Halloween. Happy Halloween to you. 4:04 is the time. We have another hour to roll here on the program. Then contest tonight. A good one in the NFL. The undefeated San Francisco Phony Niners.
Oh, wait a second.
We'll see if they're the 49ers or will the Cardinals expose them tonight with Kyler Murray.
I'm just glad.
The number one draft choice.
I'm just glad that Scraby didn't come back with that tired Halloween music he was playing earlier.
Thank God. That was pathetic, Scraby. The first hour
pathetic
of the show. You scared not one person. We have 49ers and Cardinals coming up tonight. Thursday night football. That's at a little after 5 o'clock today. Tomorrow we'll have a short show because we're carrying Navy football. We give you a little of everything on this station. I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised if on Saturday we don't have some curling broadcasting for you on Saturday afternoon.
I want to know what that sounds like.
It sounds like this. Doink. And that's the little curling balls hitting the other curling stones.
You can't hear them.
Oh, the sweeping.
Sweeping.
Mm. All right, that's enough. It is time for our NFL Pick'em segment.
I think that was a little bit worse than my Halloween music.
I've been waiting 11 days to come back here and bop you one. Tony Gwynn Jr. has been on an absolute fantastic roll with our NFL picks. I have to give him all of the credit. 2 weeks ago, you had, I think, an 11 or 13 point day. You picked the upset pick 4 weeks in a row. You've taken a nice lead here. But last week, I had a perfect week and closed the gap a little bit. But still, you have a comfortable lead at the moment. 59-50 is the score. And I'm going to double check that when I get back home because I've been gone for so long. But I think you have a 9-point lead right now. And I think everybody knows the way we do our NFL picks now. We have a 3-point game, a 2-point, and a 1-point. And then we have our upset pick. So it's my week to go first, and I will take the Buffalo Bills giving 9.5 points to the Washington Redskins. Buffalo at home. They got embarrassed, though, last week by Philadelphia pretty badly. So we'll see if the Bills bounce back. That's a big number. But Washington is not a good team. So I'll take Buffalo. It'll be my 3-point pick this week.
Okay. I will take San Francisco tonight.
The Phony Niners?
As you call them, the Phony Niners.
To go to 8-0, huh? I get it. You know, they have not yet. And I'm trying to figure out if this is because of my just utter disregard for Scraby or if the 49ers just haven't really won an impressive game yet. Their most impressive win, I think, is the one at the Rams.
I know,
right?
You were gone, but they just beat the Panthers 51-13.
The Kyle Allen led Panthers.
Kyle Allen, second stringers. Right. All right. I'm just saying, I'm not convinced yet. Their most impressive win was the one at the Rams. At the Coliseum, shutting down the Rams. But the Rams have their own problems. Indeed, I'm still not sold on the 49ers. 7-0 is very, very good. 8-0 would be even better. We'll find out tonight. All right. My 2-point pick. I don't understand the odds in this game. And this worries me. Whenever I don't understand the odds, because something happened while I was gone that I don't know about. But why is Seattle only favored by 5 points over Tampa Bay? Seattle's one of the best teams in football.
I think they gave
Tampa Bay is one of the worst.
They gave up like 500 yards to Matt Schaub and the Falcons.
Who did?
The Seahawks defense.
Seahawks, they won.
Yeah, but they gave up a ton
Matt
of
Schaub
yards.
Matt was slinging it around.
He had
like
over 400 yards
I
passing.
Forgot Matt Schaub was in the league, actually. I didn't even know he still was in the league. And he came out and just was slinging it like it was...
No, that doesn't scare me enough. I'm going to stay with Seattle. Seattle over Tampa Bay. At Seattle, I think that's a gimme. 5.5 points is a very small number for that game. Anyway, Seattle's my two-point pick. How about you?
My two-point pick will be the Dallas Cowboys.
On the road. Going with the Cowboys.
Two roadies.
Right. Yeah, you're going with two road games. Those are dangerous.
They
even
are.
In the NFL, you never can tell. 7-point favorite, Dallas at the Giants. That's the Monday night game, so we will have to wait until then to find out how that turns out. Dallas, let's see, they looked good against the Eagles, did they not? A couple of weeks ago, and then they were off last week. They're coming off of a bye.
Yes.
They crushed the Eagles. What happened in that game?
Because
I thought the Eagles were going to be really right there
they
in that
just
game.
They wore the Eagles down.
Did they?
Yeah.
All right. All right, my one-point pick, this is a bit of a jinxer. The Dolphins have got to win a game this year, and most people think this is going to be the week because they're home against the Jets, who are not a lot better than them. But in order to jinx Miami into a hopeful victory, my one-point pick will be the Jets to beat Miami. I'll take the Jets just because everybody beats Miami, but I'm just hoping somehow the fish can
break through
one time. Just get a little happiness for me. All right. Your one-point pick is?
My one-point pick will be...
Tough ones. They're all tough this week.
They are
very,
tough.
Very contentious games this week.
I need to take a home team this week.
I'd better get one home team in there. All right.
I don't like any of the home picks, so...
I don't like any
well,
of them.
Well, this team is the home team, but they are in London. I will take the Houston Texans.
Houston, all right, that's good. Over Jacksonville. Okay, that's your one-point pick.
Yes.
All right, my upset pick, I get first crack, and now we reset. We can pick any game on the board.
Except one that we've already picked.
Exactly. If you, for example, I took Buffalo, so I could not pick Washington as my upset pick. That would not be legal. But I can pick Arizona tonight, and I can go for the big 10 points. And I feel like it sounds like a desperation move because I'm behind you by 9. But I'm looking at the board, and I just think that's the best value upset underdog pick this week. Everything is a very small number except for that game. I could take the Giants at home, but I have more confidence that the Cardinals are going to... I think the 49ers are due to stub their toe.
All right.
You can put that down, Scraby, by the way, and play that again tomorrow if you want.
Oh, trust me. Tony and I have been talking about how we can't wait to play all the stuff you said about them way back when.
All right, play it. Play it tomorrow when I tell you right now that tonight is the night the San Francisco 49ers unbeaten run comes to an end.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
I will take Arizona as my upset pick this week for 10 big points. I'm really going out there.
Here's a concept. Fight me.
You know what's funny about that one?
That doesn't get old either.
That one never gets, even when it's against you.
Right.
Like, it's still funny.
All right. My upset pick, I think the best value.
All right.
Is the Chicago Bears.
Ooh, 5 points.
Because
yeah,
defense
good.
Travels. I know their quarterback is Trubisky has struggled this year.
Yes,
immensely.
He has.
Defense is, I think they're going to show up this week. I'm taking the Bears.
At Philadelphia.
Yes.
All right, so now in order for those to win, those teams don't have to beat the spread. They have to win the game straight up,
right.
Just for those of you who follow our pick 'em contest. All right, so there we go. The 3-point pick for me is Buffalo, 2 points Seattle, 1 point the Jets over Miami. Tony's going San Francisco tonight for 3, Dallas for 2, Houston for 1. And then the upset picks, I'm going Arizona, going for a big 10-point hit tonight. Tony will be going for 5 points on Chicago against Philadelphia. And Tony has a 59-50 lead right now. So,
Chris,
there's our picks.
You missed this yesterday, but
yeah.
With all your trash talking of the 49ers, I want Matt Barnes, the former basketball player, to help me tell you something.
Like, shut the f*** up.
Wow.
Strong to quite strong.
Like, shut the f*** up.
All right, why don't you wait until we see what happens tonight?
I don't need to.
You just played yourself because you probably just overstepped your boundaries.
Eww.
That was rude.
That was rude. That was rude?
All of our little sounders are kind of funny and, you know, goofy. That was just flat out rude.
You called my Halloween music pathetic earlier.
So did Tony.
No, I didn't use that word.
He didn't use
I
pathetic.
I said it was trash.
Said,
yeah, I think I said trash.
Oh, trash, much better.
So both of you.
Like, shut the fuck up.
Much nicer. All right, that's enough Matt Barnes. Who is he saying that to? Me?
He's actually saying it to somebody you would appreciate him saying it to.
Oh.
He's saying it to LeVar Ball.
Oh, is he?
He is. Yeah. They had a conversation, him and Steven Jackson, who we had on last week. They were having a conversation about, they were jokingly having a conversation about being security for the youngest LaMelo so they can get him away from LeVar. Okay. And they were talking about how he's basically sabotaged Lonzo's career by running his mouth, talking bad about his teammates. And that's when he's like, man, just.
Whatever. All right, so I like that now.
Shut the
fuck up. All right, I like it now. Matt Barnes, you're okay. You're back on my good side. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Program keeps on rolling. Ron Fowler, got to hear what he had to say about the big news, the big goings-on there in Padre land. Padres manager is in place. Jace Tingler introduced. You heard the press conference live and exclusively here on 97.3 The Fan earlier today. You heard Tony Gwynn's fantastic interview with both Jace Tingler and A.J. Preller. Now we'll get some stuff from Ron Fowler. A big five follows that, so don't go anywhere. Still plenty to come with Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
Scraby, scraby, scraby. By the way, did you guys happen to see what Charles Barkley had to say about Karl Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid's fight?
I did not.
He called it a snuggle party.
That was not a snuggle party.
Well, snuggle party cost both guys two games.
Yeah.
Suspensions.
This is also coming from a guy who threw the biggest haymaker ever at Shaquille O'Neal one time. So maybe he felt like it
if
was
you're
going to
come after Shaquille O'Neal, I must admit, you better throw a big haymaker.
Right.
I don't know whether it'll do any damage.
You might not reach his head if you don't throw a haymaker.
Yeah, if you don't really come all out, you're not going to do a whole lot of damage to Shaq. But
all right.
That's funny.
Stephen Kane. You are our biggest fan. You have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973 to win a 4 packets of tickets to SeaWorld, along with a 4-pack of tickets to Del Mar for opening day of the races, and be entered to win our grand prize, a Vegas getaway that includes show tickets to Absinthe at Caesar Palace, Opium at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, and the brand new Atomic Saloon show. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggest fan to enter. Scraby, did you write this?
I did not.
Okay.
Well, that's why it sounded so smooth.
Well, I had to. Did you notice a slight hesitation early?
I did.
Stephen Kane, you are the biggest fan. You are the biggest fan twice. So I had to kind of skip over.
Uh-huh. Copy and pasted incorrectly.
Okay. All right. Earlier today, you guys have heard our interview with A.J. Preller and Jace Tingler. But we can't have a day like this and not hear from the big boss, Ron Fowler. He answered some questions after the press conference was done. And here's what he had to say in terms of... what did I want to do first? I can't remember.
Expectations.
No,
I'm sorry. Skeptical.
Skeptical. There you go.
Boy, the two of you working together is just like clockwork over here, I must admit.
It's was he skeptical on hiring a manager with no experience?
Yes, we did. And we talked to a number of people outside of the Texas Rangers circle. But the reality is that the GM has to hire his manager, and after going through all of it, we felt very comfortable that the experience he had with AJ earlier, the experiences he had after AJ left, were sufficient, that he had the credentials to lead this ball club, and he has an ability to connect with people that I have not seen that often, young and old, and whether they're experienced players or not. He's reached out and talked to a number of them. I've heard from some of those players. They really like the way he's approaching things, and he knows we have to surround him with some experience on the coaching staff. You know, the National League thing, we know we don't have a lot of National League experience with Ting. We have none. But we will get the people that finish out the coaching staff that can get the deal done.
That's going to probably be the most important element to his skill base, is the ability to connect with the players. Because when you don't have the big league experience, veterans tend to tune out.
Well, they're
going to
say, wait and see, or prove it to me, right?
Right, exactly. And usually, if you have that those credentials, it kind of gives you a little bit more time to have the prove me portion. But yeah, as Jay said himself, he's not coming in expecting them to have trust in him right away. He feels like that's something that's got to be earned.
He's going to have to earn that. I like that thinking.
Yeah.
I really do.
Because you can't. In today's game, you can't. This is not in 1980.
If you're going to walk in there as a manager right now with no experience, when you got a roster with, you know, the Machados and the Hosmers and the people that you have on this team, and you're going to think that you're all that before you even hit a fungo bat.
As he said, it's a recipe for disaster.
That's a recipe for disaster, absolutely. So, his attitude is right. He's going to have to come in and earn their trust. And don't think that the first time they don't lose, 11-1 and commit three errors or something and kick a ball game away, that guys like Hosmer, guys like that, are going to be looking, all right, how's our manager reacting after this? How is he, how is he handling this first bit of a negativity? So,
I think the next biggest question, I think, on a lot of people's mind, especially after we heard from Ron shortly after the season ended, was how much patience would he have in 2020?
We have to win in 2020. Mistakes will be made. If they're mistakes of aggression, we can cover those off. If they're mistakes of, let's say, not playing hard or whatever, I don't think Ting is going to accept that, and I think he will force the players to get off their duffs and play aggressive baseball.
So when a question is asked along the lines of how much patience you will have, and the first thing out of your mouth is, we have to win in 2020, that would tend to make me believe that there isn't much patience.
Not a lot.
We have to win in 2020.
Yeah, not a lot. They're put themselves in a little bit of a, I don't want to say a corner, because a corner sounds too negative, but if they start 19-31, there's not going to be too many people around here that are going to be going, excellent hire of Jace Tingler. Don't worry, the Nationals were 19-31 last year,
right,
and they won the World Series. There will be complete anger, hatred, and panic around here in town. If you get off to that kind of start with a new manager, considering all of the other options that were available, that's something that the Padres just had to know when they made this decision.
I think it is. I think it's something they had to know, something they do know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change it. If the Padres get off to a rough start, things could go downhill real quick. All right. The last question we have time for that was asked to Ron Fowler was, we remember the spicy comments he gave that started to flood out, and, we were getting misinformation, and we got the real thing from Ron himself. Is he going to stick to his comments that he made at the end of the season?
Absolutely. One of the things that people seem to miss is everything that I said with the fans afterwards had been said internally multiple times. There had been conversations with a player whose name came up there, but AJ and I talk about this on an ongoing basis. We've said that 20-21 we have to compete, and we mean it. And the fact that we sucked at the end of last year, the fact that we only won, played 347 baseball after the All-Star game, was absolutely unacceptable. And I watched the team on the field. You saw the team on the field. We were an embarrassment for the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season, and we're not going to do that. If we don't perform better in 2020 and 2021, we will make changes. That's absolutely it. AJ knows that and is comfortable with it, and I think so is Ting. We've got to win, and we've got to win now. That's the expectation.
Can I just say I love an owner who says the word sucks?
Yeah, I mean, listen,
because you don't hear owners say that too often. No. They kind of dance around that word. They don't like to go quite to that level.
You gotta love.
And he
his
said
candor.
We sucked.
Yeah, and that, I mean, again, that's what I think we miss, is the fact that when he's saying something, we all think it's for the first time. But knowing Ron, there's no chance that was the first time he said that, and he had already let the people who were involved know how he felt.
He said, "We've talked about it with his team before, and we sucked, and that's not acceptable. We can't have it again." That's what I want my owner to say. Yeah. It is. Obviously, it doesn't guarantee that I'm going to be a great World Series champion, but it does guarantee me one thing, that if we're not getting more into the right direction, that the people are going to be held accountable for it. And that's all you can ask for, I think, as a fan in that regard.
No doubt about it. All right, we're going to step away, pay some bills. When we come back, Thursday Night Football is about to get underway. But first, we have a Big Five. And you know how that goes. That means we give the show to that guy over there, Matt Scraby. And we all hold on to our seats and see where it takes us. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
Hallow's Eve.
Finally got a good one, Scrape.
Finally. Took Scraby till 4:36 on the clock to find a song that
we only got 30 minutes of the show left.
Gets us into the mood. It is Halloween tonight. Everybody be safe. Have fun out there. I'll say it again. Be safe. And I don't know. We're taking a risk at our house. I know that. My wife went with the one bag of candy.
Mm.
Which means we will be open for business until we're not open for business any longer.
Won't be very long.
And no, it won't be open very long. And then what happens is the word gets around the rest of the kids that, see that house over there? They were given some pretty good stuff. Now they're home, but they've shut the lights down. And what happens to houses like that?
They get eggs.
Something's happening.
What's your address so I can head over? Still waiting.
Not gonna give it to you. The Lakers are 3-1 though. We haven't talked too much NBA. Is that in the Big Five at all? In the NBA conversation?
No, I don't think it's a news.
Not quite yet.
Noteworthy.
Well, you the know, Spurs
you're
are.
Not
in
gonna, you're not gonna bait me. You're not bait me.
Lakers are 3-0. They've had the easy schedule though. They've been 3-0 at home and 0-1 on the road. And their road game was at Staples Center against the Clippers. So the Lakers have yet to venture out of the Staples Center. And we mentioned that before the season, that 15 of their first 19 games are at Staples Center. Hey, you got to take advantage of that. You got to get off to a good start. They have.
How about KD going on First Take this morning and admitting that the spat with him and Draymond earlier in the year definitely played a factor in him leaving?
Did see that.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not either.
I'm not surprised.
I'm surprised he admitted that on television is what I'm surprised about.
I think that, you know.
But that's a natural feeling.
I guess I'm not surprised anymore. Now, I mean, Kevin Durant wears his heart on his sleeve. So he'll tell you what he's thinking. Golden State being 1-3 is a bit of a surprise to some people, I think, early on in the season.
Can you play that cricket sound real quick for me?
Because it's too early?
No. Because that's the sound of Golden State fans across the United States.
Isn't that nice?
They were the loudest voices in the room for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And it has unraveled very, very quickly.
Take that for data.
I can tell you that, Golden State fans, as a Chicago Bulls fan, for 6 years I got to crow. And that was 20 years ago. I haven't been able to say bleep all since then. So get used to it, Golden State fans. It's fun while you're winning these things, but it goes south in a hurry. And the Warriors off to the 1-3 start. So the only undefeated teams in the NBA, Tony, real quick, are?
Denver?
No.
Give
you one more guess.
I can't. I don't
Philadelphia 4-0 and the San Antonio Spurs.
That's odd. The San Antonio's undefeated.
3-0. It doesn't matter who they put on that team.
They just plugged different people in.
It just doesn't matter. They got a coach and it works.
And all of a sudden they're right back where they were the year before.
Yep. All right, let's get to some Big Five activity, Scrape.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic.
but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Real quick, before we get into this, I just saw Michael Strahan on TV, and his costume is Mr. T. He looks pretty darn good as Mr. T.
Yeah, Tony Gonzalez's was like the biggest Prince ever. Like
yeah.
You know, the artist formerly yeah. known as Prince.
Right.
And his was pretty good, too. Yeah. I mean, he was just way bigger than the real Prince.
He was right? way bigger than the real Prince. All right, if you have any Big Five topics, as always, find me at Twitter, at Matt Scraby. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Number five.
We just talked about them, but the Golden State Warriors... They are in trouble because
I just asked you if there's any other any NBA stuff in the Big Five. Didn't I not ask
you
100% that?
100% did.
And what was his answer?
I thought you said Lakers.
He said, no, he read off a Lakers story and he said, is there any NBA stuff in the Big Five?
Oh, there's
you
two. Said,
and
you said, no,
it's
don't
that
worry
worthy.
About it. So
I
that's
was
why
about
I went
the
on
Lakers.
And kept talking about the NBA. I wouldn't have.
All right, go
we,
ahead.
We didn't actually talk about why the Warriors are going to be bad.
Because they don't have KD no more.
Well, they don't have KD, but they also don't have their star. Guard Stephen Curry because he suffered a broken left hand after a hard fall during last night's 121-110 loss to the Suns. A source told ESPN's Ramona Shelburne that Curry has a fracture in the second metacarpal, the bone in the hand below the index finger. And for a Warriors group already playing without Klay Thompson, who is recovering from an ACL surgery in his left knee, and Kevin Looney, who is dealing with a neuropathic condition that will keep him out for at least three more games. Curry's setback was a nightmare for a team that's 1-3 and has had major issues on defense. Here is Warriors head coach Steve Kerr talking about the injury.
A tough start for us on many levels, so we're just trying to find our footing. Obviously this puts us in a tough spot, so we'll assess it and we'll go from there.
So he sounds like he's really happy about the position that he's in. So let's start with you, Chris.
He sounds depressed.
He sounds depressed. Yes, he does. Chris, do you still think the Warriors make the playoffs this year?
Yes, I do. And the reason I do is because they were smart enough to pick up D'Angelo Russell in the offseason, a move that was panned by a lot of people who thought, why are they picking up D'Angelo Russell when they already have Steph Curry? Well, guess what? Now they don't have Steph Curry, at least not for 5 or 6 weeks. D'Angelo Russell can step in. He has to step up, obviously. If the Warriors stay within 3, 4, 5 games of 500 the first 3 months of the season and they get Klay Thompson back, I think they get into the playoffs. I think Steve Kerr is that good that he can work it around with this ball club to make the postseason. It's not going to be easy, but I stay on the Warriors bandwagon, at least as a postseason team.
Tony?
Apparently, Steve Kerr doesn't know this, what Chris is saying, because he just said the other day that you're going to see a lot of beatdowns like this.
Oh, really?
Pretty much. It's virtually almost exactly what he said.
Steve Kerr just gave up on his own team.
He said that, and then I think another game, a couple games later, he said something along the lines of, are you looking forward to getting another chance at getting out there and kind of, you know, working on some things? And he said, I'm looking more forward to the beers sitting in my locker right now. So
yeah. He's
not in a good place right now with his team. This team, listen, especially with Steph going to have to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. I don't know if you've seen this team play yet, Chris, but even with D'Angelo and a healthy Kerr and a healthy Draymond, they have looked horrible.
Not good yet.
And listen, maybe they can. I just have a hard time seeing them make the playoffs. I'm going to say no.
You're going to say they're not going to make the playoffs. I'm just sticking with Steve Kerr. I don't know Steve Kerr personally, but just having heard him talk a lot and being pretty familiar with his career, I think Steve Kerr has kind of mastered the Chris Ello method of talking negatively about his own team when he knows damn well that what he's really trying to do is light a little fire under his own guys. Steve Kerr's never going to give up on this team. It's not in his DNA.
No, he's not.
He's not. So, either is Draymond Green. So, as long as those guys are fighting, Warriors make the playoffs. We'll see. That'll be close, though. It'll be close.
Number four.
After an awkward exchange with a team official following Game 7 of the World Series in which Gerrit Cole said, quote, he was not employed by the team, end quote, free agent Gerrit Cole, a frontrunner for the American League Cy Young Award winner, said his thank yous to the Houston Astros and their fans via social media Thursday.
He tweeted today, quote, "Last night was a tough one for us, and the heartbreak hasn't gotten any easier today. Before I became an Astro, I didn't know much about Houston, but after just 2 years, you have made it feel like home. So here's what I know now. You have been an overwhelmingly friendly, welcoming, and kind to my family and me. The Astros organization has been such a pleasure to play for, and the Cranes are indeed special people and great owners. I've met lifelong friends on the team and in the community and learned a little about pitching along the way." End quote. That was his thing on Twitter today. So, Tony, give me a percentage chance Gerrit Cole becomes a Padre for next season.
Oh, man. Percentage.
Yes.
First, I want to say, show me the money!
Jerry! He's going to make a lot.
I can't hear you, Jerry.
Percentage? Ooh. Let's go with... Shoot, after last offseason, I'm going to say...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
35.
Wow.
That's
okay.
Higher than I thought.
Yeah.
Chris?
Yeah. It's higher than I thought. I'm going to say after last offseason, the percentage of Gerrit Cole coming to the Padres is 10.
Mm. That's
the only
fair.
Reason is because I don't know. I hope, and it's not my money, but when you spend $300 million in 1 year, it's tough to come right back and spend $300 million again. And isn't that what you're going to have to spend to get Gerrit Cole?
I don't think so.
No?
Yeah.
$200 million?
If Rendon is they offered Rendon $215, the Nationals did. And if I'm looking at age, I think Cole is 30.
Yeah.
So
you're probably looking somewhere in the low. For the bargain basement price of $175 million.
Something in that range.
That's still quite high.
$175 to $210, somewhere in there.
How do we feel about...
I'm going to say 10% chance, but I certainly would love to see it happen, obviously.
How do we feel about him talking, not doing the interviews after the game? Because he said he's not an employee anymore or whatever. I think it's kind of weak.
He was joking, by the way. Did you hear the sound?
Did he do it?
I don't know. Did he?
I don't think so.
You can't say I don't think so. You're about to come with the heat like that, bruh.
You're right.
Okay, exactly. I think he was joking.
I think he did a little bit.
Yeah.
I tried to make that my own
narrative. You did. You tried to
You shut me down.
Don't ever let the truth get in the way of a good scraby lie like that. Come on.
Number three.
I'll just move on. Last night, the Philadelphia 76ers and Minnesota Timberwolves engaged in one of the more vicious fights in recent NBA history. Now they are paying the price for it because the NBA announced that it has suspended both of them, Joel Embiid and Karl Anthony Towns, 2 games each for their role in the fight, which occurred in the third quarter. Here is Joel Embiid talking about how the fight started.
I don't know. I guess not last possession. We got him to turn the ball over, and my hand was tangled up. Next thing I know, he's holding me. We holding each other.
He's holding me. We
holding each other. All they needed was a little dance music, sounds like.
Yeah, according to Sean Sharania of The Athletic, Ben Simmons was involved in it, but he was viewed as the peacemaker in the scuffle. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN reported this morning that the... Yes, Tony.
No, go ahead, finish.
Oh, that the Timberwolves took issue with that assessment, citing the chokehold as evidence.
Yes!
But the league apparently disagreed. Minnesota released the following statement after the suspensions were announced, quote, "While we are disappointed with the league's decision, we understand the magnitude of the unfortunate incident. The NBA is highly competitive, and last night was a reflection of that. We support Carl, and we'll move forward together as a group," end quote. Chris, does the punishment fit the crime?
I'm looking at it right now.
Please look at the chokehold at the end.
It's a good
one. Ben Simmons is laying on top of him and has him restrained, and then goes with a chokehold. I don't understand how that's not a suspension. Or at least a fine.
So how did Ben Simmons not get fined is what you're
right.
saying. Embiid also looked like he was originally chokehold grabbed by Towns. Didn't look like Ben Simmons did anything. I mean, Embiid necessarily did
started
anything.
It, right.
Looked like his, okay, like he said, his arms were hooked up. And then the next thing you know, Karl Anthony Towns has a chokehold on Joel Embiid. I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often in the NBA. It's about the best I can do on this. I mean, you know, two games doesn't seem like honestly enough. I think I would go a little more, you know, four games, five games. Because I've got to get it into the minds of these players that if you're going to fight, it's going to cost you quite a bit more than you think it should. Two games is two. Five is a bigger deal. And these guys are too big to be fighting each other out there. They're just too big. It's too dangerous. I mean, somebody could get badly hurt if one of these guys lands a haymaker. So I think the NBA's got to ratchet it up a little bit. I'll be honest with you.
Tony, does the punishment fit the crime?
I think it does. There was no real punches thrown.
No, there wasn't.
And I think that's ultimately why it's not what Chris is saying, four or five. If there would have been even one punch thrown, I think we would have seen it. But because it was just a... What did Charles call it? A snuggle fest. Because it was kind of a snuggle fest.
Next thing I know, it's holding me. We holding each other.
That's worth two games.
It is worth two games, but the message needs to be five games, is what I'm saying.
What happens when there's an actual punch thrown then? Are you going
to
go 10?
You might have to go up higher.
I think that's a lot.
I get scared. These guys are huge, Tony. Huge.
Especially Joel Embiid. He's a massive human being.
So much damage. They've got to somehow, because it is so physical under there, they've got to be, even to help the refs a little bit, just be scared of, you know, fighting. Because fighting is, I mean, what refs are going to step in?
They don't usually get in there until
hell no.
Things kind of slow down a little
no.
bit.
No.
Number two.
Washington Redskins offensive tackle Trent Williams has been away from the team since the beginning of June due to a holdout. On the day of the NFL trade deadline, he reported back to the team, but several issues remain unresolved. Here he is talking about his, I guess the best way to describe this is what he thinks about the Redskins.
A combination of things. You know, what I went through health-wise, took me away from the game for a minute anyway. So, but, you know, when it pertains to that, you know, just that and the contract status was a thing as well. You know, obviously playing with no guaranteed money, I don't think any premier player will want to do that, especially not in the game that we play today.
I love that game of ping pong going on.
What a rally. I was thinking that same thing.
What like, a rally that was.
Mean game of ping pong.
Nobody
right
missed
now.
A shot for the entire interview.
That was intense. Well, today he also said that he had cancer when he had a tumor that this was earlier in the year that they found something on his skull and they had to remove it. He said, quote, "I had cancer. I had a tumor removed from my skull. It got pretty serious for a second. I was told some scary things from the doctor, so it was definitely nothing to play with. One of the things that will change your outlook on life." Back in April, Ian Rappaport reported that Williams had a growth on his head, and the doctors were worried that it was a malignant tumor, but the situation at one time appeared to be very serious. The growth was removed, and Williams was said to be fine. He clearly was not fine. And he almost lost his life, he told Les Carpenter of the Washington Post. Tony, because the Redskins said he was going to be fine and he wasn't going to be fine, should NFL teams have neutral doctors on their staff?
This is 100% something that needs to be looked at further, because when you have a quote unquote team doctor, they are employed by the team.
The Redskins send them a paycheck.
Exactly. And
that's a
problem.
Well, it's a hard spot to be in.
And we've seen it really just destroy relationships. We saw it with Kawhi Leonard in a much less serious matter.
Yeah.
But in his mind, it's serious, right? That's his career. In this case, it was life or death. He was told he was okay from the Redskins staff. And it turns out that was not the case. He had cancer, had to have it removed.
And then the Redskins were going to suspend him or fine him because he wasn't showing up to camp.
They didn't just
do that,
though.
Based on what some other doctor told him, he was in danger of dying.
Yesterday when he reported, they came up with the headline that he's back, but he's going to miss practice due to helmet issues. Mind you, the issue with his health is on his head.
Boy.
And it's like you're out to now, you're trying to make him look bad by putting that...
We all made fun of him yesterday.
We did.
Do I have to just... The only thing I will say on this is that the Washington Redskins are and continue to be one of the worst-run organizations in all of sports.
No doubt.
And on this one, I got to be on the player side 100%. I'm on the player side about 90% of the time anyway. But, yes, be careful with what team doctors say, because team doctors keep in mind where they're coming from. And I think all these players are pretty well aware of that now, and they're all going to go out and get their own opinions on stuff, because I don't know that all of them are getting the proper care. And it's tough to be a team doctor. There might be some team doctors out there listening to me say this that do the best they possibly can.
That, we shouldn't lump everybody into
that's
that.
That's right.
That
they
market.
Do the best they possibly can. But
when
still,
stuff like this happens, yeah.
It's almost impossible not to, Tony, to try and find a way to get the guy on the field, because that's basically what they've hired you to do.
Yeah.
It's really a tough spot to be in as a team doctor.
All right, we're running out of time, but we're going to go to number one.
Make it quick.
It on the fly, because our friend AJ Cassavell from MLB.com, he has tweeted this. Sources: the Padres are expected to hire Phillies infield coach Bobby Dickerson as their bench coach. Prior to Philadelphia, Dickerson had spent a decade in the Orioles organization and was on the big league staff for all of Manny Machado's tenure there. So, Tony, thoughts?
Bobby Dickerson is one of the best infield guys in all of baseball.
Nice.
Not a bad move at all.
Chris, thoughts?
Never heard of him, but that just seems to go along with the program right about now. So, but hey, look, Tony says the guy's good.
He's right, but if Tony says it, then we have
to believe him. He told me Jace Tingler's a good hire, so I'm going to go ahead and believe Tony. I do. I respect Tony's opinion a great deal. But what's his name?
Bobby Dickerson.
Exactly. How many tickets he selling?
He's a bench coach. How many tickets bench coaches selling?
None. But I'm just saying, the Padres are really putting it out there, man, by just hiring a bunch of no-name people with no cachet. And it's okay if it works. But if it doesn't work and it's early on and there's some struggles, natives are going to get restless. That's all. And the Padres have to know that ahead of time.
Hey, familiarity with Manny is a good thing.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Can we get the keyword, please?
Costume. Text COSTUME. Oh, it's Halloween. That's the word costume. 72881. Your chance to win your share of $160,000 in the Fans National Cash Contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck from 97.3 The Fan. Keyword costume. 72881. That's where you text to get your share of the loot. Great being back, guys. Thanks for welcoming me back.
Good to have you back.
It
was fun. Oh, stop it. Stop it, Scraby. Scraby's going to try to put up the video of me swimming with the sharks.
You got to send it to me.
So I think that would be pretty fun to watch if I were you. Tony, we'll see you tomorrow. We'll be back at 3 o'clock mañana. Enjoy NFL football next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.